but you are not aware of it, your posterior better. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know? You see, it's me, it's that G-U-double-T, rolling once again with that J-C-D.
I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
JCD, you got an extended theme song tonight. How you doing, Jay?
Yeah, wow. We're going with the extended version there.
Either that or the loading just was taking a while. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. All right. Busy weekend. Things are getting close, but I'm good.
All right. And once again, we are joined by the prophet himself, Rick Craig. I got your new music tonight, Rick.
Yeah. How are you, Seth?
Changing it up each time. How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, thank you.
Awesome. We got a great show here tonight coming up. Oh, You Didn't Know Radio. The Stro Maestro, WCW's former superstar, the Maestro, will be joining us in just a bit. We also have a number of prizes to give away. We're going to get to that in just 1 minute. For that, just want to do a little plugging here. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/OUDidn'tKnowRadio. Check us out on Twitter. You can follow me at Seth Gutt. Follow JCD at JCD1219NY. He now has over 100 followers. So check him out over there. Of course, always check out every day ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, and follow them on Twitter at PWPowerhouse. Before we get to our guest, JCD, what do you have tonight to give away?
Let me go reach into the vault of vintage. Okay. Let's check the vault of vintage real quick. And the vault of vintage, we have grabbed 1998 WWF In Your House Rock Bottom.
All right, WWF 1998 Rock Bottom VHS. If you want it, you need to tweet at JCD1219NY for your chance to win. I have with me a couple of prizes here. First up, we have some free tickets to the show that JCD and I will be doing commentary at, World Wrestling Organization, Friday, April 26th in Paterson, New Jersey. You'll see such superstars as ECW original Jason Knight, former WWE superstar Vito, and many more. If you want that ticket, you can tweet at me at Seth Gutt. I also have an FWE Wrestling DVD featuring a match between Winter and Maria, also Colt Cabana, Harry Smith versus Mike Bennett, and many more. Also, I have one more prize for us, an autographed picture of the Prodigy, Mike Bennett, and Maria. So if you're interested in any of those prizes, tweet at me at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. Make sure you let me know which prize you're interested in. And, of course, if you want JCD's VHS prize, tweet at him at JCD1219NY. Now to our guest. He is a former WCW superstar. He is the Maestro, now known simply as Stro. Welcome to the show. He's with us. Maybe he's not with us. Area code 404.
Hello, this is Brian from Georgia.
Brian, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm a good friend of the Stro. I've never met him in real life, but I've been knowing him for over 10 years. We met years ago on Chris Shandek's New Era of Wrestling, Power Talk Radio.
Very nice. Well, hopefully he will be joining us shortly. Rick, maybe you want to, you know, send him a message, let him know we're ready for him to come on.
Already done, sir.
Until then, of course, reminders to tweet us at us for some cool prizes. And JCD, what is going on with you? What are we going to talk about here tonight, wrestling-wise?
Go a little different as, you know, head into the road to WrestleMania. There's been some talk of doing a WrestleMania rerun Raw, and looking at some of the top guys and who they faced over the years, I really don't think this is a smart idea, but we'll get into that, some TNA stuff, the final events at the Impact Zone this week, as well as, you know, everything that went on Raw Monday night, and, you know, we'll cover a lot, I'm sure.
Great. What do you think about this news that, or rumor, I should say, about CM Punk possibly taking some time off after WrestleMania?
It's well deserved. Guy deserves it. He's been, you know, pretty much with Cena, the main guy in that company, done everything needed of him. And you know what? He deserves it. You know, the knee's been, you know, barking at him. So let him take some time off. I have no problem with him being off house shows right now. You know, and also you can work it into a storyline. You know, I think Lesnar destroys him at Raw the night after WrestleMania. I could really see that because I really think Lesnar Punk will be at SummerSlam. So, you know, what a better way to do it, especially if Lesnar's going to have to regain some heat depending on what happens at WrestleMania, which we'll get into that tonight too. I have no problem with Punk taking time off.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, a lot, maybe last year or maybe the year before, but I think it was last year, there was talk about John Cena possibly taking some time off, and that certainly never happened. So why would they allow CM Punk to do that? Is it just because no one can replace John Cena?
Well, if you think about it, you know, Cena took time off from in the ring. Even though he was on the shows every week, he didn't wrestle for probably, I don't know, I think it was about a month or so. So, you know, I mean, you can let Punk, you know, just because he's going to take time off doesn't mean, you know, you may not see him. So, and Cena's going to get to a point where he's going to need to take some time, some real time off. Between that back, that neck, one of his shoulders, you know, Cena's avoided a few, you know, avoided it lately, but it's going to come a point where even John Boy is going to need to take some time off. Everyone gets to that point, you know,
absolutely,
where they need it.
Absolutely.
This is why you got to start building some guys up that if Cena needs to take 4 weeks to 6 weeks off, or Punk needs to, you know, to you to the point where you can almost have, you know, them not be missed in a sense of you have guys ready to go in those slots. And hopefully the night after WrestleMania, we start to see that, and because that's really what they need to do.
Definitely. All right, we are going to actually give Maestro a call here from the studio. He was expecting us, Rick.
Hello, thank you for calling. I'm not available to take your call right now. Just leave a name and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as quick as possible.
All right, well, that was attempt number one. Should we try one more time?
Sure.
One more time here. Should be dialing now. Yeah.
Hello?
Mr. Maestro.
Speaking.
Hi, how are you? This is Seth from OU Didn't Know Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you doing here tonight?
Oh, doing great, doing great.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show. I have a number of people here with us, and we're very excited to talk with you and ask you some questions.
Awesome. My pleasure.
All right. Rick, why don't you start things off?
Well, hi, Stro. It's Rick from your very favorite wrestling page from Facebook, Pro Wrestling Obsession. How are you, bud?
Great, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for joining us tonight. We really do appreciate it, man.
Oh, my pleasure.
First question, I'll start off with you, Stro, if you don't mind. I think a lot of people are very unaware of your background. You actually have wrestling royalty in your family. Gorgeous George is your uncle?
Granduncle, actually.
Great uncle, I'm sorry. So I guess, knowing that, I guess having to be in the background with a luminary like that in your family, how did that translate into you actually forging your own path in the business?
Well, it's funny how that all came about, because I've always had
lives in North Carolina. He's on Blog Talk Radio, not on radio shows. I called him South Hand this morning. Hello?
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay. Like the songs.
What are we getting in the background,
okay,
bud?
Okay, all right. Yeah, I was going to answer the question that I heard.
Sorry, Stro.
It's quite all right. Well, it's funny how it came about. I've always had a passion for the professional wrestling.
It was my first time. You know.
Okay. Sometimes there's some sound issues. I'm working on that right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll get back to the question that, pro wrestling's been a passion of mine, since, growing up and everything. And I didn't find out, actually, till later on in life, of my relation to Gorgeous George, when I started professional wrestling business and traveling around, and when I had the opportunity to first start wrestling for WCW, actually, Dusty Rhodes and William Regal came up to me and was comparing my style and the similarities that to the original Gorgeous George, and that wasn't until later on that through my grandfather out west that he kind of sparked me up with my relation to the original Gorgeous George, and it inspired me to continue to do what I do, and also to don the name Gorgeous George III in honor and retrospect of, you know, the legacy of Gorgeous George.
That's awesome. We got
I had noticed that, you know, reading about that connection to Gorgeous George, and I also found it interesting that you also spent some time with USWA and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. How were those organizations different than WCW?
Well, all the territories, you know, going like USWA, or Smoky Mountain Wrestling first, rather, then to the USWA, then WWC Puerto Rico, and AAA, which I had great opportunities to have great matches and to learn the ins and outs of the business from. I mean, like USWA had Jared King Lawler, Bill Dundee, you know, the PG-13 teaming up with Tommy Rich and Doug Gilbert, you know, meeting the great Jerry Jarrett, and you know, wrestling in places like the Mid-South Coliseum and the Louisville Gardens and all that, and you know, going through a few cars and going through like five or six states a week, and no matter where you're going at, you have to be at Memphis TV every Sunday morning, Channel 5. Oh man, it was great times. I learned a lot. You know, in Sydney, Smoky Mountain, actually, before, I was there beforehand, and which really got me started. You know, I've been wrestling several years up to that point. 3 years, rather, and, you know, Smoky Mountain was, like, my first big territory, and, you know, that had, like, the who's who from, like, great veterans, like, you know, the Rock and Roll Express, the Stud Stable, Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony, the, you know, future stars of the business, Chris Jericho's, Lance Storm, Chris Candido, Bobby Blaze, and Taz, I mean, and the list goes on. So it got my feet wet to what lied ahead, and you know, getting a chance to going out to wrestle places like WWC down in Puerto Rico with Carlos Colon and all the great, you know, stars of Puerto Rico, and going to Mexico, learning the craft. They were tagging with the great Jake the Snake Roberts, who he was been very instrumental in helping me out my career through the years. I've learned a lot from him. You know, he's been a great friend, as well as Jake's one of those guys you always learn something new from every time. And the chance that I had to tag with him in one of the biggest shows ever in the world there in Triple Mania, down for AAA, in the big eight-man main event there, it was a big deal. It really was. One of the biggest houses I've ever wrestled in front of there in Mexico City. And, you know, everything is just like, all that paved way, that along with my amateur wrestling background, my MMA background, you know, everything paved way for what lied ahead as far as, you know, the WCW is concerned. And it was funny that happened, because how things happened, because, you know, before my WCW run, Chris Benoit, God rest his soul, him and I tried out for WWE back in 95, in which, you know, I was very fortunate to have a match with Scotty Riggs, and he had the match with the late Owen Hart, and which the Hart family, as I've always held dear myself, because three of the greats that booked me in the business was Russian Bear Ivan Koloff, former WWE welterweight champion. Way back in the day, back when it was WWF, right, with Bruno Sammartino, and also he's former NWA World Tag Team Champions, you know, with, you know, guys like Don Carnoodle and Nikita Koloff. And it was Ivan, Gene Anderson, one half the legendary Minnesota Wrecking Crew with Ole Anderson, and Nelson Rowe was probably one of the greatest world junior heavyweight champions ever, you know, him being one of the greatest NWA world heavyweight, junior heavyweight champions anyway. And with Nelson, Nelson had a good relationship with Stu Hart, in which, you know, in turn later on, breaking the ice with, you know, Brett and Owen, it was a big deal to me because, you know, Nelson, you know, told me all the stories and, you know, all the road stories going up to Canada and doing things out there in Calgary. And they actually meet some of the legendary family there. You know, it was a big deal to me at that point. So, I mean, everything, as far as, get back to the question, you know, I mean, all these places I've been to, I've always considered a learning experience, you know, whether it be stateside, overseas, you know, here, there, you know, with whether it be a Japanese company, whether it be a Mexican company, whether it be a Canadian, et cetera. Everything's a learning experience. And that, and being some of the great people that paved the way, you know, I just stress to a lot of the people that I've bumped into through the years, especially the people that I've helped out to train, to be in the business, there's no substitute for experience. And I encourage, you know, I know it's really, today's market's really different, and it's really hard for a young wrestler to really get that experience, but, you know, I encourage any which way you can, whether it be Ring of Honor, whether it be, you know, doing the overseas tours, whether going to be Japan, the Mexico, what have you. I mean, getting that experience will pave the way for the bigger companies, like, in which the WWE is still the top dog right now. But, you know, you have guys like TNA that are really gaining steam and so forth. I mean, you just never know. I mean, the business the way it is right now, anything can happen. So, you know, experience is everything, and it's really helped me a lot through the years, and learning from some great people.
Yeah, it sounds like you, I mean, like you said, you've been to a lot of different organizations and learned a lot of different things everywhere you went. JCD, any questions for the maestro?
Yeah, hey, Stro, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. I was more interested, I mean, I know I read a lot about your background, too, and you just, you know, covered a lot of it. What was your WCW run like, as far as, like, you know, backstage and, you know, coming from, like, Smoky Mountain and USWA and then going to WCW, especially in that period of time, late 99, 2000? You know, what was that like compared to anything else you had been in at the time?
Well, I had, you know, I tried out previously to my second one, and then, you know, nothing was said or heard back. So I kept on doing what I was doing at the time, and I was overseas doing a AAA thing with Jake Roberts. And I came back stateside, and I was down in Texas when, you know, finally, you know, I got the call to where I had another opportunity to try out again for WCW. And I couldn't ask for anybody better to have my tryout match with was Chavo Guerrero Jr.
Oh, nice.
I mean, the Guerreros are phenomenal. You know, one of the greatest families ever in professional wrestling. I mean, you had the Armstrongs, you had the Guerreros, the Von Erichs. I mean, and they're right up there, man. And all the Guerreros are just phenomenal wrestlers. And Chavo and I, we had one heck of a match. I'll never forget it. Afterwards, you know, I get in the back, and, you know, he got Dallas Page there. He's, you know, he's looking at us, and he said, "Bro, man, that was light years from what I saw last of you. You know what I mean? And that meant a lot. And you know, you get all these. Then you know, hey, everybody around coming, you know, saying good match and giving their little opinion, and you know, and it's just like, you know, you take soak it all in, but you know, really don't know which the right thing and the wrong thing, right? And I'll never forget, Eric Bischoff walks in and says, great match, guys. And look, comes up to me and said, you know, we can use the talent like you. Welcome aboard. And sure enough, when I walked out, man, a lot of the guys there, you know, went to shake my hand, welcomed me in, and it was a great feeling. I'll never forget it. And, you know, WCW, it was what it was. I mean, sure, there was a lot of things going on with the office and, you know, a lot of twists and turns in which, you know, not only the fans, but, you know, those of us, you know, wrestling and working there really didn't know which direction we'll go from one day or one week to the next. But I tell you, man, it was like the best time ever. I mean, you couldn't ask for better talent. I mean, from all over the world, from veterans to legends to future stars. I mean, it was a great time. When WCW was at its peak, man, it was kicking, and I felt be such an honor to be in there with those guys and to make new friends and learn and have the great matches that I did. And, it was a time that I always cherish, and I really feel special to be part of the WCW alumni.
Nice. Did Vince Russo come up with the Maestro gimmick, or was that something of yours?
Actually, I did.
You came up with that? Okay.
Yeah, it was a collaboration of myself and Eric Bischoff at the time. And it was during the time, you know, went through phases, if you recall. You know, you had your martial arts characters, and now you went from there to the music genre, you know what I mean? And you had your Mortis and your Wrath and your Glaciers, and you went to the demons, the artists.
Right, yeah, that was right around that time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yep.
My original vision of Maestro didn't really come out or come forth to speak until like later on during my feuds with, you know, Buff Bagwell and the Cat and so forth, where, you know, I've always thought a vision of Maestro to be have a twisted dark side, like kind of like a split personality. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
More of a fan of the opera, like where, you know, when, you know, he would snap, he would just go into a rage, and, you know, which, you know, we didn't really see the Maestro until later on. So, you know, I just, and it was ironic, because right before my WCW run was up, and it was really cranking up to what I envisioned it to be, so... But it was what it was. I mean, there was a lot of things going on in the company at the time, but the fact that to have a wrestling character like that actually, you know, come to the vision that you thought of it to be, and then really starting to make it work, you know, especially during those times. I mean, it was really hard to get anything across because there was so much talent and so much stuff going on. It was crazy. But... I tell you, it was like I said, to have an opportunity to get out there and show the world, you know, what you can do. It was something I'll always cherish.
Nice, nice.
Rick, you have any other questions for Maestro?
Of course I do. I have tons of questions for Maestro. Obviously, the Macho Man Randy Savage was there, and his valet girlfriend Stephanie Bellers came in and started using your great uncle's name. I guess, how did that make you feel at the time, and is there anything you did, I guess, to discourage it?
Oh, man, I wasn't too happy.
I can imagine.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I quickly called Eric, and we had a meeting, and we talked about that, and worked things out, and that's pretty much how the Maestro came to play, so to speak. Which the Maestro was a had a little bit of the old Gorgeous George persona that I was doing, but with more of a musical twist. And like we mentioned earlier, but you know, we worked things out, and you know, to this day, I really don't understand the whole situation with the Gorgeous George name the way it went. But you know, it was what it was. Things happened for a reason, and you know, regardless of the confusion and all that, I still consider Randy Savage one heck of a guy. I mean, he really stepped up. Him and Hulk Hogan and helped me out a lot. He recognized with WCW and with Eric himself. So, you know, I always be grateful for that. And, you know, there's a lot of politics in this business, and, you know, you see guys having heat with certain people because of this or that and so forth. But, you know, I kind of got to look at things from, you know, a personal experience. And, you know, Hogan and Savage, I can't really thank enough for helping me out. I mean, you have two of the greatest names in the business, and Savage sticking his neck out like he did to help me. I mean, with something he didn't have to do, but I mean, him knowing me and the potential that I could bring to the company, you know, really meant a lot. And you know, that's something I always remember. And you know, I really miss Randy. Randy's a heck of a guy, and you know, he's very out there, very outspoken. But you know, I mean, his passion is something that I think more of us should need in the business. I mean, the love and passion for this pro wrestling, what's all about. So, you know, I really miss Randy, and I'm happy to see Hogan continue to do what he does there in TNA and everything. And you know, I really thank those guys a lot for their help.
Of course, it doesn't hurt having Alicia Webb by your side either, right?
Oh yeah, oh, great lady, Julius. You know, I originally wanted Bobby Heenan or Sherry Martel actually to be my manager. And you know, Bobby, he was all gung ho for it. By the time he was doing the commentary, you know, with Tony Schiavone, and Sherry almost had the gig. And I remember you know, when the decision was for Alicia to get it and everything, you know, Sherry gave us her blessing, so to speak. So, but yeah, at least she was a great lady, and it was a pleasure that we were working with her.
We actually have someone calling in. We spoke to him just before Maestro came on. His name is Brian. Brian, do you have any questions for Maestro?
Hello, Maestro. How are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call and say hey to you. And, you know, I heard you're going to be on the show tonight and everything, and I wanted to call and say hey to you and see how you're doing, see how your mom's doing and everything, see how Chrissy's doing.
Oh, great. Chrissy's doing great, and the folks are doing good. Thank you for asking.
That's good. And I wanted to say thank you for something. You know, every day on Facebook, you know, whenever I get on there and stuff, I see the great message you put out about the Lord. You know, you put Bible verses out, different, you know, the fans and stuff. And I just want to tell you thank you for that. You know, it's such an inspiration to get on there and see a performer as yourself, you know, doing that for the fans and, you know, everything. And it's been an honor to know you all these years. I mean, you know, I remember when we first met, is back on Pow Talk Radio, was because of Chris Yandick. You know, and I just wanted to say it's an honor to know you. Yeah, yes, he is. The question I had for you, though, Stro, I wanted to know what your current thoughts are on TNA's product and what your current thought is on the AJ Styles storyline.
Well, TNA, it's got some great talent. I mean, I mean, their talent roster is just, and you couldn't ask for a better talent roster. And things are going, they're on the road now, doing their thing. And, I think the main thing TNA is missing is finding that niche to where they become that fine-tuned machine to keep that snowball effect rolling, you know what I mean? Because they got the talent, they got me from the veterans to future stars, and I want to see more. I want to see them really get together and really make this thing happen. Because we need variety in this business. We need more companies to step up and do their thing. I mean, because pro wrestling is a cycle, and to keep the machine rolling, you have to have the veterans and the young stars of the day working together to improve the product and make it happen. And as far as the AJ storyline, interesting to see how AJ, what comes from it. But I mean, it's a different thing, in which different is good. And the fact that even though we have good versus evil in our business through the years, it's a cycle, and the characters change, it's still pretty much the same. So, but at the same time, when something leaves you guessing, and if you believe in something and something keeps you on the edge of your seat watching, that's a good thing. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, Brian. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks.
God bless you, brother.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
God bless you.
Hey, take care.
Have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Rick, any more questions for the maestro?
Well, I did have another question in regards to WCW, and it's, to me, the maestro was a character that didn't get to be fully developed. I mean, I wished I could have seen more from it, and then the unthinkable happens. Vince McMahon comes along, and WCW's no more. There's a lot of rumors going around on what happened with the maestro. Did you turn down the offer to go to WWF at the time, I guess, or were you not picked up in your contract? And I guess either way, I guess what was your feelings? Were you happy with the outcome of how things worked out and, as short of the run as I guess it was and could have been a lot longer if WCW had stayed in business longer?
Oh, man, I tell you, I wanted WCW to stay. But it just, the way things were going, it was just crazy. There were Nitros and Thunders on the same night. I had financial people telling me that it wasn't looking good. And, when you got Ric Flair coming up to you, and you I'm talking to Rick, which I broke the ice with him a while back, ironically through the Gorgeous George relationship. And when he's got, when he's looked shaking his head, telling you, my God, what are they doing? You know something's up. Maybe you got a founding member of WCW, you know what I mean?
That's right.
One of the guys that built the WCW house,
Right.
Guys like him and Dusty Rhodes and the Andersons and
Sting.
Oh, my goodness. Sting, and yeah, Lex Luger. And when you got guys like that are like scratching their head, you know something. It's really good, it ain't good in the universe.
Right.
But my contract was up, and really there wasn't really no sense of we trying to get it renewed because it was on the downside, and honestly, if Vince hadn't have bought it, it probably would have bellied up anyway. I mean, Eric tried to save it there at the end, but it just wasn't happening. And It was kind of like a domino effect because, when that happened, I was pursuing my journey more or less towards the ECW way. And then, sure enough, ECW bellied up too. And so it was a crazy time. And then, as we all know, Vince bought WCW and...
So did he actually ever call you to get you to come to him? Come to the Fed?
I ironically, no. No, I haven't, but even though, I got friends, even to this day up there. And it's funny how the show was all you didn't know, right?
That's right.
I mean, I know Billy well, and I've wrestled him many times, same with Road Dogg. I mean, those are Armstrongs forever. I mean, they're, you know, long lost brothers in the business, and you know, there's a lot of guys on the, you know, Regal and Hunter and a lot of those guys there. You know, I mean, and matter of fact, one of the guys that I trained just started NXT down in Florida not too long ago. My name is Scott Dawson. And I tell you, that guy is going to be something once you see him. And he's supposed to be starting NXT soon on our television. And he's going to be a star. I'm telling you, he's got it. I mean, he's got his work ethic is second to none. And he's a heck of a wrestler. So that's the name to be looking out for, Scott Dawson.
Cool.
JCD, any other questions for the Maestro? JCD still with us? Doesn't sound like it. right. Maestro,
hey, keep it coming.
Maestro, I want to thank you for... JCD says he is here. JCD, any other questions?
Yes.
Hey, yeah, sorry about that. I think I muted for a second. No, I'm good, man. This was awesome. Learned a lot of stuff I didn't know.
Yeah.
Great.
Again,
you know,
Maestro, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Really enjoyed it. Really learned a lot about you and a lot about, you know, your career through all the different organizations.
Can I plug some stuff real quick?
Upcoming
appearances and stuff. Okay,
thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say next. Feel free to...
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bless you. Thank you so much. All right, well, hey, tomorrow night I'm going to be at XWW's Extreme Warfare, Club Hush in Charlotte, North Carolina. Find out more on their Twitter. Go to XW Wrestling. And for Facebook, it's at Extreme World Wrestling, the Facebook.com, with Extreme, X-T-R-E-M-E, right? And April 26th and 27th, I'll be in Sioux City, Iowa, and Waterloo, Iowa for GWP. And you can go to their website at gwpwrestling.com or hit them on Facebook at Global Wrestling Promotions. And I also will be there with them June 8th in Alberta, Canada. And I'll be returning to West Virginia, CPW, May 11th at Berkeley County Fairgrounds in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And you can hit them on Facebook at championship.prowrestling on Facebook. And to find out all, August 1 through 4th, I'll be in the Mid-Atlantic Memories Fan Fest at Hilton University Place in Charlotte Hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina. And in their website, you can check it out more at MidAtlanticLegends.com. And November 30th, WrestleCade at Benton Convention Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And WrestleCade.com, so you can find out more on that. And for all the latest on me, you can hit me up at my official website at www.thestro.com, which is now mobile-friendly, and you can find out everything about me from movies, latest movie news, past film trailers, to upcoming pro wrestling appearances and appearances in general, and merchandise, in which I got Stro Skull T-shirts on sale now, and also got a special deal with you get a Stro Skull T-shirt and a autographed photo. And all that, you can check it out at my official website at www.thestro.com. And I want to really thank everybody that supported me through the years up to now. And it really means a lot, not only for myself, but professional wrestling in general. I mean, your support is everything. And we're all intertwined, all of us, you know, from the wrestlers, everybody who works in the companies, up to the wrestling fans. I mean, we're all in this together, and let's keep pro professional wrestling alive. Thank you guys so much for your support, and as I've said many times, you've probably seen the interviews online, wing them all. Ooh la la.
Thanks so much, Maestro, and you know, I'm sure we'll be in touch. We're both in Rick's awesome group on Facebook, Pro Wrestling Obsession. and good luck to you in all of these upcoming events.
Yeah, and one more thing. DDP Yoga, check it out, man. It's helped me out so much. My girlfriend, Christy got me on it. We've started in January, and it's phenomenal. And at Dallas is helping my brothers in the business, Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall. It's amazing what he's done to help those guys and helped a lot of people. And I'm feeling it. You know, I'm proof. It's happening, man. And if you want something that works, that'll help you, your body, mind, and sound get right, get healthy, DDP Yoga. And it's the thing. It's the way to go, man. It's he's doing a beautiful thing. It really is. And DDPYoga.com.
Cool.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. Been a huge, huge thing going around now, that DDP Yoga, helping out a lot of people. Thanks again, Maestro.
Yeah, thank you, guys. God bless.
Take care, man.
Take care.
All right, that was WCW's Maestro, also known as the Stro now. And now we have some time left, a little under 15 minutes in the live show. We'll just take 14 seconds to hear from the Big O.
Uh-oh, it's the Big O, and you're listening to Oh You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Network. Stay tuned, we got a great episode ahead, and if you can't handle that heat, get the hell out of my ozone.
All right, as always, love that 14-second break from the Big O. And now back to our regularly scheduled wrestling news and rumors. GCD, we were talking before the interview about CM Punk and possibly taking some time off. Anything else we want to discuss as it relates to that, or is there something else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think, like I said to you, I think, you know, I have no problem with Punk taking some time off. He's earned it, and, you know, sometimes long-term is better than short-term, and a lot of people in the IWC, you know, don't realize that. It's appease me now, but, you know, sometimes you got to think better long-term.
Definitely. Rick, any thoughts on the rumor about CM Punk possibly taking some time off after WrestleMania?
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, these guys kill themselves trying to, you know, keep up with the schedule that Vince has got for them. And JCD nailed it. I mean, they've got to do a better job of getting some of these other talents up to the level. Cena's not going to be around forever. We know that. I mean, we're seeing Undertaker and Triple H keep coming back in to try to get him some extra life out of them, and they're not going to be around forever. You know, they've got to get somebody else to take Cena's place and Punk's place, and they're just not building them well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because, obviously, when Cena came in, he came in along with a number of other guys. Orton, Batista all came in with him around the same time, all from OVW. I forget who the others were that came in that class, if you want to call it that. But it doesn't seem like we don't have another class like that, another group of young guys who are ready to take over the next era.
Maybe not ready right this second, but if you look at that NXT roster, and if they get behind a handful of guys that are on that main roster now, you got a potential core on your hands that could carry this company. They just got to get behind guys and really start establishing, you know, some of these guys and bring some of the NXT guys up. I mean, think about it. You're going to have a roster of Cesaro, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Cody Rhodes, and then, oh, by the way, you've got Cassius Ohno, Richie Steamboat, Leo Kruger, Bray Wyatt, Pac, Adrian Neville. You know, a lot of the guys that were rumored at the tryout about a month or so ago, you know they're going to sign some of those guys. This core, if they can just, they got to get, I don't, they, it's got to start the night after WrestleMania. It's almost like they've got to kind of reset a little. and decide, okay, we're going to get behind him, we're not going to get behind him, and start building those guys. And in a year, when you hit WrestleMania 30, those guys can matter. So even if you're going to bring back a Jericho, a Triple H, an Undertaker, you know, a Rock, the rest of your WrestleMania will be so strong and stacked that maybe Rock against whoever won't have to main event. Maybe Triple H versus whoever won't have to be the co-main event. You know, you can sprinkle those matches in and then have, you know, Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler for the WWE title, you know, main event. I mean, I'm just using that as an example. That's what they need to do. They have the guys who can be that. They've just got to put the effort into them.
And you nailed it. Again, like I was just going to mention, you know, they've got guys on their own roster. I mean, yes, NXT is loaded, but they got guys on their own roster. I mean, it's great to see Jack Swagger finally getting some push, but what about Ziggler, you know, Daniel Bryan? These guys could be leading the way, and if they were groomed properly, you know, the Cenas and the Ortons of the world could start their down climb while these guys start their rise, and it's not happening. I mean, they're getting to a certain level. Then they bury Ziggler. You know, we won't get into that, but
right.
Why? You know, they're not going to be around forever. Then what are you going to do?
The Ziggler thing, though, is different from the rest of them, because Ziggler, there may be a bigger plan at work here.
I hope
you
so,
know,
because
when
it's not good right now.
No, it's not good right now, but if you look at his run the last couple of weeks, he's been picking up, and if you really look at it, when was the last time he lost on pay-per-view? So the Ziggler run, the problem is everything else in between has been bad, but Ziggler, if Ziggler losing to Cena and Ziggler losing to Orton is to set up world title or even WWE title feuds with Ziggler, with the mindset being that these guys already beat him, they should be able to beat him for the title, and then when Ziggler beats them, it means more, that's okay. The guys who I don't get, why is Cody losing to guys that
uh-huh.
he shouldn't be losing to? Why is Sandel losing to guys? Why are Barrett and Cesaro losing clean, you know, in non-title matches, when the guy who beats them in the non-title matches is not asking for a title shot? A loss in a non-title match used to mean, okay, that the guy who just beat you just pulled the upset. Now he's gonna turn around and want the title shot, and that's
number
where the
one
champion,
contender.
Right, and that's where the champion retains. Okay, it was all about building that guy up as a threat. Now the problem is Cesaro loses to Randy Orton on Raw, and Orton doesn't even mention the U.S. title, or Sheamus beats Barrett and you don't hear Barrett talking about the IC belt. That's where the problem is. And if you could just, it's just little stuff. It's not complicated. It's just little simple things that's where they need to retreat. Ziggler's an exception to the rule, because if you look at the last bunch of Money in the Bank guys before they cashed in, they went on this they were on that downcline. Look at Daniel Bryan 2 years ago. Bryan lost to everybody under the sun. CM Punk in 08, you know, and even 09 was losing to guys. You know, the Money in the Bank thing with Ziggler doesn't worry me. It's just everyone else, like, make a decision.
It's interesting because, you know, he's set to be in the tag team title match, and everyone, I don't know what your guys' opinion on that tag team title match, but I actually think it's interesting, and I don't think it was a terrible idea. But with all the complaints about Ziggler, what happens if he walks out of WrestleMania with two titles? Are
timing,
people still
the timing
going?
Of,
go ahead.
What were you going to say, Fred?
No, go ahead.
The timing of that match on that show is going to probably be very telling. If that match goes on early and they lose, I would say you're better than 65% of a cash-in. If Del Rio and Swagger go on early before the tag title match, then I don't think you're going to get it. Timing of that's going to be very, very interesting.
And I think the World Heavyweight Championship match obviously started last year's WrestleMania. Did it start the year before also?
Edge and Del Rio kicked off 27.
Yeah, so they definitely have a thing for starting out with the World Heavyweight title match, but it's never been a situation like that where people are just waiting for that cash-in. But as we've discussed for a number of months, JCD, the order of the matches on the pay-per-view can tell you a lot. But then again, we thought that way, and we still didn't see a cash-in. I mean, the World Heavyweight title was at the beginning of a number of pay-per-views, and there was still no cash-in. So.
Right. And if you've catched lately, they do it passingly, but they are mentioning that he has until July.
Yes.
Right.
They've been doing that the last couple of weeks, and I've mentioned that a few times, that, you know, for everyone freaking out that Ziggler hasn't cashed in yet, remember, he's still got 4 more months to do it, you know.
It's almost like they're setting it up for SummerSlam.
No, he can't do it at SummerSlam.
Oh, that's right. That's too late, isn't it?
That would
be
too late.
I like what me and Seth said on here one night. Have him go into the Money in the Bank pay-per-view up against the gun.
Now, that would be interesting.
You know, have him go up against, you know, that if he doesn't do it by the end of midnight on that night at that pay-per-view, he's done. You know, that's why, like, you know, it would be great to have Ziggler with the belt now, but remember, we've still got 4 more months of this.
Right. So, as much as I'd love to see him cash it in at WrestleMania, he would be the first one to do it at WrestleMania. I would be there. You know, I was hoping that he would cash it in at TLC, which I was at in Brooklyn, and that didn't happen. So there's still hope that I can witness the cash-in this time at WrestleMania. It would definitely be very interesting if he was forced, basically forced to cash it in eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did cash in at Survivor Series, which I was at.
Right. There have been so many opportunities for him to do it. You know, it's interesting and...
I'll
makes
tell
you
what's
wonder.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He's been stopped twice by Ricardo.
Well, he
in.
Was stopped by Cena at least once.
Right, but he was stopped by Ricardo twice. Now Ricardo's got the snapped ankle, and probably won't be in Del Rio's corner at WrestleMania. I know that was done to get heat on Swagger. I may be reading a little too far into it, but I wonder if that was done also to eliminate somebody to save Del Rio.
That's very interesting. Very interesting point you bring up that many people might not have thought of as a way to set that up. It's very interesting. Is Ricardo definitely not going to be there at WrestleMania? I feel like he's such a big character to not be at WrestleMania.
Well... for him to sell that broken ankle, there's no way... All right, maybe he'll be at WrestleMania, but there's no way he's going to be able to run, snatch that case, and run away like he did even on Raw a few weeks ago. So I wonder if, let me rephrase that then, the immobilizing of Ricardo was done with a bigger purpose besides getting some, you know, real heat on Swagger.
Well, before we continue, we're going to go off the live stream in about 1 minute. So, anyone listening, thank you for listening to the live show. You can download the shows off of iTunes. Give us a rate, give us a good rating, and follow PWP Radio and ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. All right, back to Ziggler and this whole situation. I think that if Ricardo does not appear at WrestleMania, that could definitely be a sign, because, like I said, I think that he's a big character, a very popular one, and for him not to be at the biggest show, there's got to be some sort of reason.
Yeah, like I said, I may be reading too much into it, but I thought that was interesting that they did that Monday night.
All right. Why don't we move on to something else here?
Can I pick the next topic?
Sure, Rick.
Rick, go for it.
Well, there's been a...
obviously happening out in the world of wrestling. It's kind of exploded on the Pro Wrestling Obsession page site. And I wanted to get, I guess, your thoughts onto it and what your feelings were. Bully Ray and what he did this week as far as disparaging a fan, using a homophobic term. Is it acceptable to do something like that just to get heel heat? Or do you guys think it's cheap, it's not warranted in today's politically correct society? Or is it? Or you think it's something that should be done?
Boy, that's a double-edged sword.
It is.
I'll tell you, I have seen... I used to go to a lot of ECW shows in Queens, and let me tell you something. If there is someone who can get a crowd to literally want to kill him, it's Bully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you never knew what was, you know, just the crowd being the crowd and what was pure attempts at rioting against him and Devon. Devon's no saint either. You know, wait till Devon really gets going in this.
Yep.
You know, I think Bully hasn't had this venue, this spotlight on him in a long, long time. I just think times are different, to be honest with you. I think he may have just gotten a little carried away. I think now, with today being everything so instant, you know, you do something and anyone who's got a camera phone anywhere nearby is going to have it posted and uploaded somewhere instantly. It's a combination of both. Do you have to go that far? No. But then again, you know, at the end of the day, he's still a character, and he's no different from someone in a movie or a television show that's a bad guy and, you know, uses a term like that towards somebody. I think Dixie surprisingly handled it well. I think that's it. You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I mean, Dixie wanted this, though. You know, Dixie wanted, you know, that real, like, you know, go out there and get bottles thrown at you every week. So she better be used to this, because Bully's gonna take it to some lines.
I think the biggest difference, though, John, and I agree with what you're saying, the biggest difference between today and then is Bully wouldn't apologize for it then. He was backtracking and apologizing left and right. I'm sure TNA, with their, you know, their television contracts, their sponsorships and stuff like that, were getting on him pretty hard that he better make some kind of a claim and make an apology. He's a heel. Heels don't apologize.
I'll be honest with you.
Right?
Yeah, you're right with that, but I'll be honest with you.
What about the difference between WWE and TNA? I think WWE would be much stricter about this sort of thing. And TNA showed that they're definitely going to do something and they basically made Bully Ray apologize. But I think WWE would handle a much harsher, or give a much harsher punishment in that kind of situation.
I disagree with you guys on one thing, only because knowing and seeing it back in the day how it was, Bully didn't need to be told to apologize. He would. I don't think you can control him like that. But on the same token, I think he's also the same type of guy, because he's actually, I've spoken to him a few times, like in Queens back in the day. He's a very level-headed guy. So he might have just been the type of guy to be like, you know what, all right, this got out there, I went too far, I'm going to do my own thing and issue my own apology. I don't think he was forced into it by TNA. Dixie, unfortunately, strikes me as the type that she will let these guys do whatever the hell they want as long as they can get away with it. Whereas Vince, it would be automatic and understood from the start. You don't cross certain boundaries. Dixie only apologized and put that out there because she had to. Vince, the difference between her and Vince is, Vince would have done it because that just doesn't fly with Vince.
But I'm going to put another point to this, and I'm going to disagree with you for this very reason. CM Punk does this kind of stuff all the time. He's not been reprimanded for it. Yes, he's not the golden boy, but he's not like he's been knocked down pegs or anything. I think Vince will let things go as far as he can let them go, too, as long as they don't blow up and become a distraction. Because CM Punk is certainly no saint on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. No, I follow Punk. Punk's, yeah. But the difference with Punk versus what happened with Bully was, Punk doesn't just go out randomly on Twitter and say stuff. Punk responds to people, and I know it doesn't make it any better, but that's part of the difference. Whereas Bully just more or less was working the crowd and went after somebody like that. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Part of the problem is, too, is that in 1998, this would be considered tame.
Right. Is it acceptable in today? The question is it acceptable in today's market? Did Bully Ray do his job, or is it cheap heat now? Bully Ray, you're right. He can get a crowd worked over better than I think anybody in the business. I'm glad he's the champion. I mean, this is refreshing for me, seeing Bully Ray as a single star getting his due. But did he cross the line on doing his job? By getting cheap heat? Bully doesn't need cheap heat.
No, but you know what, though? How different is he from a guy in a movie that plays a Southern, you know, Ku Klux Klan racist? Even though it's a character still, you know?
But he's doing it to somebody who's not a character is the problem. He's taking somebody could have been taking the...
All right.
Who, I don't know,
right.
May have had
his
kid there with him, and hearing Bully Ray call a kid's father a you-know-what right in front of him. I mean, that's not part of the show.
But here comes another part of it, Rick.
Okay.
And, you know, and I get what you're saying with that, but you also kind of know forget quality of the products. Theme-wise, you know what products are out there. You know Vince, as much as it sucks, is going to be more family-friendly. Okay, granted, you know, every now and then you get a Punk, exploding moment. But more or less, Vince is going to be more of the family-friendly, and TNA is going to be a little more edgier. Okay? Now, I get what you're saying, don't get me wrong. You got your kid there, and here comes 300-pound Bully Ray calling you whatever it was he called him. You know, you don't want that in front of your kid. But on the same token, you know what you're going to. You know, so, you know, and
well,
if,
well,
you're gonna, if you're going to antagonize Bully and, you know, work him for a response, can you kind of complain at the end of the day at the response you get?
I see that. All right, we're just going to stay on for just a couple more minutes. Anything else you want to cover, Rick?
No, that was the big topic. Like I said, it sparked a wide range of emotions on the site, too. There's really no right or wrong answer to this. It's more opinion and what you feel is acceptable and can tolerate in today's world. You know, there's no right or wrong answer. I mean, we had a professional wrestler on PWO arguing basically with one of the other members of the group, and they were just going back and forth. And of course, it went overboard, but there's very strong emotions attached.
Yeah, I mean, that's when it gets a little crazy. Like, you know, you can stand whatever side you stand on it on, but when, you know, you can stand on whatever side, but then when it crosses that line, that's when it's like, all right, well, now if you're defending it or if you're against it, either way, you just kind of killed your point by dragging it into the conversation you're having.
Exactly. All right, let's wrap it up here. Rick, why don't you talk about the group, and that way people can find it on Facebook and join.
Love to have you. Pro Wrestling Obsession, Facebook page, get your wrestling fix. The Prophet will be there, I promise.
Absolutely, it's a great group. JCD, talk about your Twitter and anything coming up with you and ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com.
Twitter, it's JCD1219 on Twitter. Probably not going to be as active. Whoa, I lost a follower. Wow, did I piss people off with this? Wow. back down to 99. Holy shit. Wow, okay. I hate Bully.
I'm sorry. You just lost Bully Ray's antagonist.
Yeah, and wow, okay. I guess we'll have to have another contest to get me back to 100 again.
You can ask the Stro to follow you.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Stro, follow me, please. I don't have much coming up, only because of the bigger picture of what I got going on, but, you know, I'm still going to be doing what I can, here and there, but, you know.
That's good. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T. Check out my site, gutwrenchpowerblog.com, G-U-T-T, wrenchpowerblog.com. I am a WWE featured columnist on Bleacher Report, so you can check me out on there as well. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/OUDidn'tKnowRadio. I also have facebook.com/gutwrenchpowerblog. And, of course, we have facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. And check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for all of your wrestling article needs.
And next week, guys, hold on, no, not yet, Seth. Next week, Desmond Wolfe / Nigel McGuinness will be in the house.
Very good point. I did mean earlier to talk about the upcoming guest.
That's going to be an awesome interview.
We even got Jay coming in to join us, don't we?
Yes, Jay is a huge fan of Nigel and has a number
Seth,
of questions
you
want to ask
Seth,
him.
I would slot probably an hour and a half for next week.
Okay.
Could be a two-hour special next week.
Easily, yeah. I would do it.
Don't do a special.
Hey, we've done 2 hours on Tuesday nights, Rick. Don't mock it, man.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, but I would do at least 90 for next week with Nigel.
All right, I can do that. The following week, we have Headbanger Thrasher. Glenn Ruth will be with us. The following week, Big Vito, followed by Bull Buchanan, Ken Shamrock, and Scotty Riggs.
Yeah, so, Rick, you may be on your own for Vito.
Really?
Yeah. Cassette, that's the show you're off, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to be around for that.
Yeah, and there's a chance I may not be around for that one.
Now, we need to talk about this because I've never hosted before, so I have no idea what to do. So,
come on, Rick.
Well,
even I did it.
Either Rick can do it or maybe Will or Jay will join him. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll get it figured out.
No big deal. All right, so keep up with OU No Radio. We have guests every week since JCD's birthday on December 19th.
That's right.
So that's going through May. So keep up with OU No Radio. We are a great new podcast that is getting hot and hotter.
And more importantly, what were we just ranked?
Oh, we were seen
on... Did you say we were ranked, or did you say we're ranked?
Well,
we were ranked.
We were
ranked on
WrestleNews.com as one of the top 8 wrestling podcasts that you should hear. So that's that. And with that, if you ain't down with OU Didn't Know Radio, I got 2 words for you guys.
Follow me.
Have a good night, guys.
Later.
Oh, you were not aware of it? Your posterior better contact the last one.